Yes, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Advice Show on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm your host, Philip, once again. And today's show, what does it take to be successful? So I have someone who I know who's from my town, actually, and she's done very well for herself. She is the entertainment reporter from Houston Style Magazine, and her name is Rebecca Briscoe. So I'm going to bring her in and let her introduce herself to you. Hello, Rebecca.
Hi, Philip. I want to say welcome to everyone. I'm excited to definitely have the opportunity to be a part of this show. I'm honored. And most importantly, I just feel so comfortable knowing that I know Philip from childhood and that I am on the opposite side of the chair, if you know what I mean, for once in my life.
Yeah, that is, you know, sometimes we got to switch roles every once in a while. Well, let me ask you a question. Coming from, you know, the time we came from, and even looking at the condition it is today, which is not nothing that we want to smile about, what inspired you to say, you know what, I got to make some more of myself than where I'm at today?
I would say my motivating factor then, which is also my motivating factor now, is having people tell me that I cannot do something. Having someone tell me that no one does that from where you're from and it cannot happen, it's inconceivable. Why are you thinking like that? You're from Port Arthur. You're not from maybe Los Angeles or New York City or Chicago.
Okay, so basically the hate motivates you then.
Still does. Still does.
It's kind of like, go ahead.
And just having the opportunity now is, my platform is to just make history and whatever I'm doing, trying to be a first, but at the same time building a lot of great relationships and friendships along the way.
Okay, now let me talk about your childhood, because all that has to do with your upbringing as well. How did your parents inspire you to do, you know, something more than just being in Port Arthur and not doing much with your life? How did it inspire you?
It's so weird. When I was a young kid, actually in daycare, nursery school to be exact, my mom always ingrained in us that we were going to college. We had no idea 4, 5, 6 years old what college was until we started watching The Cosby Show, which transitioned on to a different world. And by that being said, we kind of understood what the college experience was, and we wanted to do that. Coming from a small town, you know the only way that you could pretty much make a name for yourself is to get a scholarship, whether it was academically, to get out of that small town, or to excel in sports. So I knew one of the things that I had to do was to find something that I really liked and focused on it and just remain dedicated. And along the way, my parents constantly pushed us, motivated us, because, of course, in their generation, they grew up very poor. So when they saw, you know, us grow up, they wanted us to always have better than what they had as children and as adults.
You know, now I know your parents, and, you know, I know you come from a good family and a two-parent household, which I feel that has, you know, a different effect upon, I think, you and then versus maybe some of the other people we went to school with.
Yes.
And, like, now, let me ask you a question. What is the difference between women that come out of the two-parent household versus women that came out of the single-parent household, just from your opinion?
Well, my opinion is, you know, growing up, I thought my parents just got on my nerves growing up. I didn't realize how passionate they were and how caring they were until I actually went off to school. And I saw students that were pretty much making it on their own, had no support system, no motivation. They still were the financial factor or breadwinner, even though they were off to school, you know, of course, sending off their financial aid to their parents or what have you. So I didn't realize that until I was submerged in a college experience, to where I accepted that they were very good parents. And I think that it has a lot to do with the home environment, how those two people get along with each other, because you could have two people in a household, but they don't complement each other as a couple, so they're not going to complement each other in parenting. That is very important. And I'm taking that from being in a classroom so long, from early childhood to college students, that it makes a difference how two people communicate with each other.
Now, let me ask you about your father, okay? How did your father impact your life?
I always knew a man was going to come home. Always knew if I needed something, I could ask him for it. And at the same time, he was always going to work. And he was working to make a better lifestyle for all of us. He was working to show us a work ethic. He was working so he showed us how when we start, you know, dating and courting or whatever you want to call it, what type of partner and man you would want in your life. That was definitely a strong impact on me.
So basically, your father set the bar pretty high.
Yes, he set the bar pretty high. However, he always would make mention, you know, if you see something in that brother that's trying, and he's trying, don't just, you know, spite your face for your nose because he's not all the way there yet. You might have to, you know, build him up. And y'all grow together because, you know, a lot of cases, you know, young women mature faster than guys, even on a college level. So sometimes, you know, they aren't the package deal like a female is. So it may just take some time if you see that person has something to offer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it as a setback or a challenge or anything or a charity case. If you see something or whatever, in that person.
Okay. I mean, like I said, when it comes to that, you know, I have my opinion on that. when it comes to guys being with a yeah, because see, sometimes, you know, in the social media setting, guys are like, well, women need to do this and women need to do that. My biggest problem with a lot of these guys is that, hold on, brother, you're not where you need to be at all. And then you come in with these demands to these women, tell them where they need to be. And, you know, I tell a lot of guys this. Take care of your business first way before you start talking to those women. Because that way they can't point fingers at you and say, what are you doing? You broke anyway.
Absolutely. And you know, and most women will definitely be quick to say that.
Yeah, I mean, because if you're doing something in your life, give an example. Let's give you an example. You're doing what you're doing, and then you get involved with a guy that's trying to make it, you're going to be kind of carrying him for a while. I mean, let's just be real. You're going to be kind of caring for a while. And eventually, if you don't get his stuff together pretty quick, it's going to get old.
And you know what? I understand that. And my greatest example of that, I would have to say Michelle and Barack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Michelle met Barack, it wasn't where Barack was in the interview chair to her. It was the other way around. However, it was some sparkle in his eye. It was something that made her think that he has something. He just needs to be polished, or he just needs to be just given a little bit more attention or time, or he's kind of rough around the edges, but I see something in him. And we can grow together because he has so much to offer, even though back then financially he didn't have anything to offer. Maybe even his career to many women he didn't have much to offer, but she saw something in him.
But the thing is, when you compare Barack Obama, I mean, was she? I think they met in college, correct?
Oh no! Oh, absolutely not.
When did they meet?
Michelle was at a law firm interviewing new attorneys to come on, and she interviewed him. She was almost a partner at the firm, and
he had a degree. He already had something in the works. He probably wasn't where he at like now. But he did. He put in the groundwork, his education, his degree. He was going somewhere.
Right, right. But that's what I'm saying. She saw something in him. I'm not saying he was out on the street, you know, with a cup in his hand. She still saw something in him. And in today's society, you know, most women want a ready-made man. They don't want somebody who may have a law degree from Harvard, but you volunteering in the basement of a church.
Yeah.
Do you honestly think most women would be satisfied with that?
Women who aren't smart? No, they wouldn't be satisfied with that.
How do you have all of these degrees from a Ivy League universities and you're volunteering, knocking on people's doors about community issues in the ghetto? And you could be working at a major law firm making six figures easy with an expense account.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's what I'm saying. Something you may see in that person. I'm not saying somebody who's just out there, a charity case. But it's just something that maybe you can, you know, refine, polish, and grow together.
Exactly. Let me ask you a question. When high school, let's talk about high school.
Okay.
I mean, because all that brings up to now. When you was taking your class in school, being in school, and I remember a lot of people thought you was going to go into modeling.
Okay. I did do that for some time. I sure did.
Because I'm like, everybody say, oh, yeah, Rebecca, she's going to be a model. She's going to be this, she's going to be that. And, you know, so how did you get into modeling?
Oh, my goodness. I thought I was a tall, goofy-looking kid growing up. And so I would do just little local fashion shows in the mall or whatever. And it didn't catapult until I went off to college. I went to LSU in Baton Rouge, and they had a fashion board. And in that fashion board, it was like a committee where they would do fashion shows for homecoming, fashion shows for winter, a bridal show. And I was like, oh, wow, this is so fun. You get to wear nice clothes. Everybody in the school gets to see you. They videotape it. You get great pictures. So that's when I really started getting into the fashion side of it. And at the same time, it did build my self-confidence as I became a young woman. It did catapult. Once I did get out of school to where I was an Ebony Fashion Fair model. And that was like a model fashion 101 boot camp. Anything mm-hmm. you wanted to learn about couture fashion, fashion house modeling was from them. And understanding textures, understanding garments, understanding how to just be patient. Or whatever, because I learned from them, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. They've been doing it their way for 50-plus years, and guess what? Just because you're young with a college degree and excited, that is not going to get them to move because they've been doing it the same way every year.
Okay, so now when you talk to go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said that really catapulted me to understand and respect fashion.
Now, after your fashion experience, and you talk about your degree, where did you get your degree in?
I got my undergrad degree from LSU in education. Second degree, while I was working full-time, I got my master's degree from TSU.
Okay. And did you get that master's degree in education as well?
Huh?
Did you get that master's
degree? Actually, I got it in administration. I got it in public administration because I figured from the education degree, the master's would help me to fight in D.C. for education reform. That's what I thought I was going to be doing, fighting for students' rights because I've been in the classroom so long. I see what the students go through. I see what the parents go through. I see what the principal goes through. I see what the school district goes to. And I just felt as though at that time when I was pursuing my master's that they needed a voice.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that doesn't mean that you can't do that, you know, because, see, now you have a platform, and then now more people will listen to you if you start to talk about that. So just because you may not actually doing it every single day don't mean you can't speak up about it.
And you are absolutely right. You are so right.
I mean, because sometimes it's good to get some sort of, you know, some sort of platform. I mean, because if you just went that route, probably nobody know who you are at all. You know,
and
but now
you know what? That is so true.
I mean, that's what all these other celebrities do. They use their platform and their celebrity to champion whatever cause they're looking, you know, to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. You're right. You are absolutely right. You are right.
Now, let me ask you a question. Houston Style Magazine, how did you get in contact with them and become their entertainment reporter?
Well, it actually was pretty funny because I was living in Houston, but I was just kind of tired of the nightlife scene. And I was like, oh, my goodness, they have all these great galas. They have all these great events all over town. I definitely want to be a part of those. And I know they're very exclusive, but I also want to travel a little bit, too, because I was still young. And so I was like, there's either two ways I can do that. I can either come in as a media source, or I can just pay for a ticket. And I was like, well, maybe I should do the media piece, because if I do the media, I can go up close and personal. I can go backstage. I can meet people. I can network. I have a reason for being there. And so it just started off as a hobby, actually. Like, I would just do it just to get out of Houston for the weekend. And it wasn't a gratifying moment until I covered a major boxing match in Vegas, where I was the only African-American female in the post-conference.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, asking straight shooter questions to where all of the regular journalists for your larger publication just stopped and looked at me like, wow, those are some great questions. I can't believe you knew all of that. And I'm like, I traveled over 1,000 miles, of course. You know, this cookie gonna be prepared with something, and
yeah.
So that was the pivotal moment when I said, "Wow, maybe I can do this for real. Maybe I can start understanding that there needs to be more representation of women of color in the field of sports, and not just, you know, the major ones you see on TV." But a variety of sports, because you never know. People like boxing, people like soccer, people like race car driving, people like everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, maybe, you know, I'm definitely on to something. And maybe what I wanted to do wasn't God's plan. Maybe God's plan was for me to use my talents to bridge gaps of communication, for people to get greater understanding about these celebrities. Because a lot of times, you know, the media can either be your friend or your foe.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, as soon as the media may find out something, a lot of times they do blow it out of proportion before it has been thoroughly researched. And trust me,
oh,
I know
that. I do know.
And I know that for a fact, because they want to get the story first. But a lot of times it is not fact-checked. It is speculation and allegation. So I said, I don't want to be that type of journalist. I want to be the type of journalist, if I sit down with you, we can eat a hamburger the next time you're in town, that you feel comfortable, that you're not sweating, that we can have a breakthrough. We can see the good side, the bad side, but at the end, we're still friends. So that was the type of platform I wanted. And that's what I wanted to just always maintain.
So you basically always are just comfortable around, because some people are not like that, okay? You know, some people get around celebrities or sports figures and they get all nervous or antsy. Have you ever been that way at first?
You know, I really haven't. I'm going to tell you, the first person that made me scream was Patti LaBelle, because I was like, I'll never scream and holler like a nut if I see a celebrity. I don't know how those people just scream and holler and go crazy. And I was backstage at an event and I saw Patti, and I love her. I love her story. I love what she stands for. I just love her, period. And I saw her and started screaming like a nut. And it was so funny because when I took a photo with her, I said, I've been following you all of my life. You've been such an icon. I look up to you. I said, I'm so sorry I was back there screaming. She said, I know, baby. I saw you. That's fine. Don't worry about it. But, you know, initially it doing it was kind of awkward because I'm like, oh, my gosh, I got to just go up to that person. I have to just go up and talk to that person. And in the sports realm, it's not like they're respectful to women. I'm not saying they're ugly to them, but if you are in a press conference or a post conference, just because they see a lady, they're not going to say, oh, it's your turn. You can ask your question. Oh, okay, it's your turn to take a photo with them. No, it is like a boxing matchup, and everybody is fighting to get their question. Everybody's fighting to get to the coach. Everybody's fighting to get to the athlete, and you just have to learn. You got to fight too, you know. It may not look pretty or classy, but guess what? You have to get that story just like everybody else.
So basically, you got to have a little aggression and maybe just a little bit of attitude.
You got to get kind of gangster too. You gotta go up in there and just do it with a smile.
Wow, I didn't know that. I thought they had some order to a press conference. You're like, okay, this journalist go,
No, when you go to it, say for example, when you watch the press conferences for the president, they are sitting down in a chair, but they arguing those questions out. Like they fighting to get their questions out because you know he may only just stand up for 5 minutes. So if you don't get your question out, guess what? You just missed it for your newspaper.
And then they get upset that you didn't get the answer. You didn't even answer one question.
Absolutely.
Now, the ones you did, let's say like the ESPY Awards. I've seen that you had this a piece at ESPY Awards. Was that a little bit more laid back than fighting with everybody?
You know what? It was kind of the same thing because you were outside. So you pretty much had to call the celebrity's name, of course, and get their attention and, you know, make sure you had your question ready because, you know, the ESPYs is the epitome of sports. It's the number one sporting awards, and I'm so blessed to be a part of that because I and the publication was the first African-American publication to have full access to the ESPYs and cover it since its 20-year inception.
Wow. So Houston Style Magazine is African-American owned?
Yes, it's a minority publication. And I come in to, you know, not cover all of the traditional African-American events. You know, I want to show my readers that, you know, the ambiance of going to a fight in Vegas, how it is to go to New York Fashion Week each season and have video coverage of actual shows, to sit down with Hall of Fame basketball players, to have engaging conversation with soccer players and race car drivers. I think they want to see that. They want to see more diverse media, especially on the video side, because this social media has taken over like wildfire to where print is awesome. But if we can get a quick interview with you and LeBron James, that's even better than the actual print. Not that I'm discrediting that, but I'm just realizing since we are in a social media smartphone era, a lot of times people want to see videos and they want to see photos. They want to see engagement. They want to see interaction, you know, for that kind of stuff. So that is my responsibility to do that and just bridge a lot of gaps that major brands may not know and understand about African-American readers because a lot of times they just don't understand and they don't get it. They don't know.
Now, let me ask you a question. You was mentioning about women and African-American women. It's not many African-American women at all covering these sports events, correct?
It's not that many. It's really not that many. When I go to a lot of events, I don't know. I don't know if it's made. I just don't know what the shortage is. I know a lot of times when I go to entertainment type events, I do see a lot of women of color and a lot of the fashion events as well. But I definitely see the fan base growing for women in sports. But, of course, it is a highly dominated male world because when we go to the Texans game, we are there at 10:30 and the game starts at noon. And then after that, we are waiting to go into the locker room after the game and we won't get home until 4:30. So it is taxing. It is exhausting. And maybe that is one of the reasons some women don't want to put the interest into it because, yes, it is a job. It is a job to keep up with those stats from day to day. It is a job to know what university that person went to as well. It's a job to know about the opponent before that person even plays them on Sunday. It's a lot of work, and a lot of people don't realize it until they actually are thrust in that. Because initially I had no interest in sports. I was like, I just want to do the entertainment side. And I was like, well, I'm going to a lot of these exclusive events, and a lot of athletes are here. So It's best that I become acquainted and understanding about what sports they're in and what stats they have. So I said, wow, it's interesting. I just found out so much about this athlete, about his story. It's just really awesome. Now I see why he plays so hard every Sunday or why he gives back to the community so much. So it really transcended to that.
Okay, you're speaking about a lot of the athletes, and how are they reception to you? Because since they don't see too many women, especially women of color, how do they receive you?
You know what? It is so funny. It, to me, sometimes it reminds me of a student going to school for the first day, and they don't know who their teacher is. And when their teacher comes, and they just have a smile on their face. I know a lot of times from going into the locker room, for example, whether it is for the NFL or the NBA, it's like a lot of my athletes light up because they see a woman of color who is knowledgeable. They see a woman of color that is definitely engaging to want to build them up instead of try to go on the back end and pull them down. So It's really, you know, a gratifying feeling that now I'm building friendships and relationships with a lot of these guys that I see on TV throughout the week and perform on the weekend. So I think it's a blessing to have those opportunities from the NFL and the NBA to do so. I think as women, we are always going to be looked upon as being feminine and graceful, and I think men really respect that when you go into those arenas, when you go into that environment, assertive, but not bitchy, you know, and just do your job with passion. You know, don't go up in there trying to beat somebody up because, you know, the locker room to me is like a classroom. You know, you make one player mad, guess what? They're not talking to you at all. I don't care how good your question is, you know?
Yeah.
So
you made a point. I want to ask you this question. You said that men respect women that are feminine.
Oh, you made a point to say that.
Now, you see a lot of these women today, they are very manly, hyper-masculine. Now, why is it that you feel they respect a feminine woman?
Because I'm sure growing up, that's something they looked up to. And I'm sure some of the TV shows back in the 80s and the 90s, that's what they saw on a daily basis. You know, someone that would definitely have some of the character traits as their mother or their aunt or their grandmother. I'm not denouncing that, but like I said, from being an Ebony Fashion Fair model, it has just ingrained in me that you have to turn it up. Your first impression is your lasting impression. You have to have it together. It's showtime, and when it's showtime, it is time to show up, and you don't have one time to mess it up because that one mess up could just ruin your whole platform of what you're trying to do. So I think a lot of that being thoroughly trained by the Johnson family has a lot to do with that.
Okay. Now let me ask you a question about the magazine itself that you work for and everything, Houston Style Magazine, because really I didn't really hear about them until I actually start, you know, finding out, you know, what you do for them.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't even know really about them. Until I say, well, who's that? Houston Style Magazine. You know, I thought, you know, I never knew, you know, anything about them just yet. How long has they been, you know, doing things here in Houston, and what kind of reputation do they have? Because obviously they have a reputation to, you know, get you into these different events.
They have been in existence in 2013. It'll be 25 years, and they are the number one minority publication in Texas. They are within the top 10 in the U.S. as far as black press, and they're the only minority publication to have an exclusive relationship with CNN with the AP feed, if you go on their website. No other publication has that, period. And when I started with them, you know, a lot of times when you think of minority publications, you think about fashion shows, you think about church events, you think about community and politics. And I was like, wow, I'm going to all these events. I think it would be great to catapult the publication by showcasing a lot of the things that are going on nationwide. Like last year I went to Howard's Homecoming, which is historic because that is the largest African-American homecoming ever. And I was able to cover that. So those are the things that I feel that my readers and fans want to see. So I feel that I'm responsible to look forward for other opportunities, to step outside of the box, to look for different events and participate and volunteer in other programs so that these readers have something to look up to and something to look forward to as well.
Okay, now when people see you on the camera, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that people see just 10% of what you do and not the other 90% of the hard work?
Woo! Jeez Louise. Jeez Louise. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. I don't think people really understand the preparation for an interview. I don't think people understand the preparation for a football game. I don't think they understand the preparation of just getting it confirmed. It is a lot of work. It is so much work, but it's so worth it.
Yeah, and the reason why I ask you that question is because, of course, I don't do things on your scale, but just as me, you know, doing, you know, my things on social media, I can sit and make maybe about 4 or 5 videos, but it takes me part of the day just to get them uploaded, or I can do this radio show. But it takes me maybe a week or so just to try to get things scheduled or get things set up or make sure, you know, it's going to go right. And it's more work than with maybe the few minutes that people see of you doing it. Like you may have a 15-minute interview. Everybody took you, what, almost 2 weeks to get it done?
To get it prepared.
Yeah.
To get it prepared, and you're absolutely right. They have NBA All-Star coming to Houston, and everybody's like, oh, Rebecca, are you excited? Are you excited? I'm like, oh, my goodness, that is going to be so much work for us. Of course, the event's going to be grand, but just, you know, making sure everything is confirmed and making sure our timeline is going to be available to cover so many events at such a short time, and just, you know, being so knowledgeable about general managers, coaches, players, assistants, brands, sponsors, all of that stuff. You have to research that stuff because when you're on, and you don't have any chances for anything to pretty much mess up.
Now, do you have, like, maybe like an administrative assistant or somebody who help you with that?
Absolutely. I'm blessed. I have a team that pretty much normally see me in warm-up pants and a house coat and all of that stuff. And pretty much is my right-hand man to help organize, strategize, get everything together. And those are one of the things that I will contribute to my success is having a great team, having the knack to find a great team because, you know, good help, good work, good people are so hard to find in this industry.
Now, you say hard to find. Why is that? Isn't they don't have enough people, or what's the reason why you say that?
No, I think a lot of people, they get excited. They get excited before the execution. They get excited to know that you have relationships with celebrities and athletes and, you know, people of substance. They get excited to where they don't realize that you're working. You have to be professional. You have to be, you know, honorable. You have to be you know, use sound judgment. And I think a lot of people get so excited about the access, so excited about the events, so excited about the games that they don't realize and have channeled that this is a career of mine. And I know as an African-American female, it's not too many chances we're going to get, so our first impression has to be stellar. It has to be epic. So that's why I said good help is definitely hard to find in some cases.
And then the bad thing is when African-American, you know, when you're African-American, sometimes people want to give you a slight, you know, like, oh, they're not going to be professional. So you're dealing with a stereotype on top of, you know, what you're trying to do.
Or we just go give these black folks a chance and wait for them to F it up. And we all say, look, we tried, we worked with them, we tried to help them, and look, they messed it up, so no more, never again. So those are things that I have in the back of my head that, okay, it has to be thorough. It has to be right. It has to be professional. If someone is with me, they have to have the same mindset too, because things can slip up, mess up in a second.
Mm-hmm. Now, Rebecca, let me ask you a question. I got a call on the line. You want to take a question from a caller?
I will take calls from anybody.
All right. Caller 3567. What's your name? Hello, 323?
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, I didn't press one, but this is Jasper. I'm just calling in to support Rebecca. I love what you do, Rebecca. You are a phenomenal, phenomenal journalist, and just keep up the great work.
Well, I appreciate it, Jasper, and y'all definitely need to follow Jasper. Tell him your Twitter handle.
It's JasperRose20 on Twitter, and I'm enjoying the show, guys.
Now, Jasper, let me ask Jasper a question. What do you do for a living, Jasper?
I am a professional wardrobe stylist.
Oh, shoot.
And
you my kind
super.
Of people. Oh, really?
Oh, he is super. He is the one who handled me in my crisis, in my time of need, because I was recently honored as one of the top 25 women of Houston. I've never been the type of person like to toot my horn, but he was the one that I called, and I was like, you know what? He gonna take care of it. And guess what? He took care of it, all right. I was the bell of the ball.
Oh, that's
like
sounds
Honey
Boo
Boo Child was saying.
I need me a wardrobe stylist or something for some event, maybe one day. Shoot, I need to call somebody. I won't go.
Let's make it happen.
Shoot,
definitely highly recommended.
Okay, all right. So he styles men and women, right?
He
yes, does it all.
Men and women, recording artists, professional athletes, executives, anybody who needs my service, I'm definitely there. And that topic, it's such a great point that you guys were making as far as the African-American community. And, you know, people in the industry just all around, you have to remain professional and keep business and personal separate, because that's where a lot of people, especially in my age group, that's where we mess up. We mess up where we start off with a business relationship and now you out clubbing with your clients and all kind of stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
As soon as you clubbing with your clients, they feel like, oh, well, Jasper, you know, I'm not going to have all of the money this month, so let me just pay you a little bit. Keep it strictly business at all times. Keep your friends, and your clients.
Yeah, I always had the motto, you don't play where you eat. So that's kind of how I look at things.
Well, I used to hear this one, you don't eat where you shit. So I used to hear that one growing up.
Yeah, so both go hand in hand, but I just wanted to tune in. I'm in the car right now, so I have to hang up, but you guys have a fabulous show. Rebecca, best of luck to you, and great show. Are you on every Tuesday?
I'm on once a week. It's kind of bounce around because I got to bounce around career as well. But I'm always on YouTube talking and running off at the mouth. If you follow me on Twitter, you'll see my YouTube handle. I'm always posting videos all the time. My mouth is always open.
Okay, sounds great. So amazing show. You all have a great night, okay?
All right,
thank you,
Jasper.
All right, you're welcome.
Bye-bye.
So So you say Jasper takes care of you, huh?
Yes, he is definitely part of the team. He is God sent, and he knows what he's talking about.
Now, let me ask you a question, because I saw something that where were you when you had that? You had this particular, like, really elegant-looking black dress that you had, I think.
That was the dress he styled for me within 48 hours.
Wow. I mean, it looked real good. I mean, it looked classy. It complimented you very well. I like, you know, clothing like that when women dress like that. Not all, you know, I don't like that slutty look and showing this and showing that. I mean, just real, you know.
Well, I show sometimes too, not feeling, you know. I knew since they said it was a full formal affair, I knew I had to have something full length and elegant. So.
Okay. Well, like I said, hey, he did a good job. I mean, is he in the Houston area or where he at?
He actually is in Atlanta, but I know
he
will have some clients. Yeah, he's in Atlanta, but he will have some clients for the All-Star, so he will definitely be in Houston soon.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a question about, you talked about social media. How are you starting to do more things with social media, since that's really the new thing now?
You know what? I've been, and first of all, my Twitter handle is BCKYBR. So my Twitter handle is BCKYBR. And I realize now that people love to see what you're doing, and I'm starting to get better with that. They want to know where you're going, what you're doing, what city you're in now. So now I'm trying to really, really, really engage with my Twitter followers or whatever. You know, at first I was apprehensive. I'm like, I don't want them to know where I'm at. I don't want them to know I'm in a hotel. I don't want them to know that I'm getting ready to go to the football game. But now that's how you create a fan base. People want to see that. They want to see what you're doing. They want to see the preparation. They want to see the pictures and stuff and the videos.
Now, did you create a Facebook fan page as well?
I had somebody working on it, but I'm not on Facebook like I am on a Twitter.
You know, because see, like with mine, I created a fan page on Facebook, and I actually have almost about the equal amount of likes on my Facebook fan page, kind of like my Twitter. But the bulk of all my, you know, things come from YouTube. That's kind of what bulk of what my things come from. YouTube, believe it or not, you really need to get into YouTube, because YouTube is good for promotion. It really is. I mean,
okay,
really look into it. I mean, the things that you do, or even if you just do clips of what you do, post it to YouTube. I would just suggest just trying to tone down on copyrighted music, because they may take it off. But post everything you do to YouTube, get your YouTube, you know, following up. And also, you know, you can connect your YouTube like I do. I connect my YouTube to all my, you know, my Facebook and my Twitter. That's why you always seeing in my Twitter feed something coming up by the video. So that it shares it all. And that way people can see what you're actually doing. Yeah, they're hearing you at the game. They're hearing you this and that. But like you said, they want to actually see, you know, you and what you're doing.
And it's good to know.
Yeah, that way you could brand yourself a little more. Even though, yeah, you work for the magazine, but you have to make yourself as a brand. And it's hard work to brand yourself, of course, you know. But now I'm going to tell you, just as a guy, you can get a lot faster, you know, places due to your lady and your overall appearance much quicker than us guys. So it wouldn't take much. You know, just be nice and whatever else and do your thing like you've been doing. And, yeah, you'll get a following like it ain't nothing. But you got to get on YouTube. I mean, that's kind of –
gotcha.
That's one of the main places. Yeah, all the artists do it. I mean, if you look at it, all the major artists and all that stuff, they all do that. YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, fan pages, just ways you can connect with your people. You know.
You are right. And I have to get a little bit more aggressive with it. So you are right.
I mean, it takes time to do that, though. I mean, don't get me wrong. Even though you're busy already, you know, you may have to get somebody to help you. You know, put all this stuff up, because, I mean, if you're trying to get all your stuff together for interviews and you're trying to review your stats and trying to review, you know, who the Texans playing this week, it's going to be kind of, you know, hard on top of that. But it's well worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely well worth it. Yeah. Now let me ask you, you know, another question about, you know, everything that you're doing. Are you like mentoring anyone?
You know what? I do. I try to give back any way that I can with people that I see certain little sparkles of light in. You know, some people may say, oh, if you need some help, let me know. But I'm like, I don't think you really know that it's 90% preparation before it is the actual execution of an event. So definitely have someone, I would say, is my protege, just pretty much trying to learn the ropes, because in this industry, everything I've learned in the classroom is null and void. It doesn't count. It doesn't mean anything. The only thing that matters is if people like you, people can trust you, and they feel comfortable around you. I think those are the three things that I've learned from starting from ground zero.
So basically throw away everything in that textbook and then now learn for real.
I'm not saying, you know, throw it away in a garbage can. It definitely has its platform when you want to create thought-provoking questions and you want to extend. And if you definitely want to transition into other roles. But all of the things that I've learned have pretty much been on the field. It has definitely been on the thrust as well. So those are definitely the pearls. And I said, you can't learn this industry unless you get out and actually do stuff in this industry, if that makes sense.
You're basically what you're saying is more of a hands-on industry. You can't just really learn the industry
yeah.
out of the book. And but
yeah.
also, too, do you agree that you got to have some sort of personality and some sort of charisma?
I'm gonna say charisma and humility.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I definitely have to say that, too. Because there's sometimes you may want to, you know, lose it or whatever. Because, you know, you're just impatient, tired or whatever. But, you know, it's just, you know, the way of the world.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what, some of the people are rude to you? That's why you say you want to lose it? Or you just tired? Or why you say you want to lose it?
No, because you may have an itinerary of an event, and, you know, you have it set up when you're going to do your interview or when you're going to do your photos or when you're going to get a press conference. And guess what? That time could change. And guess what you have to do? You have to sit and wait.
Oh, yeah. You see, yeah, I get what you're saying, because I'm stickler for time. I'm stickler for things starting on time. And even though I'm a black man, and a lot of times they say black folks late to everything, I'm not.
Woo!
So if things don't start on time, I start getting mad. Because I don't mind waiting. It just let me know I got to wait. Don't just have me show up and like, oh, well, you're going to have to wait about 2 hours. Like, oh, come on, man.
And sometimes you have to do that. And, you know, you just have to be very humble, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You just have to be humble. And at first I would get so burnt up because I was like, wow, we had our stuff together. We, you know, are organized. We're here on time. They're just throwing our day off. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's what any human would say. But, you know, you have to understand things can change in an organization at the last minute. Things happen. Flights can be delayed. And, you know, you just have to kind of roll with the punches.
True. So I guess, what did y'all, let me ask a question about my flight. What's y'all preferred carrier?
Southwest.
there you go. That's my people there. Southwest always treat me good. I can't complain on them whatsoever. You know, even though I can get discounts with United, I still fly with Southwest.
I'm definitely a fan of Southwest, definitely.
Yeah, because I don't know, Intercontinental is so big. It's like, you know, versus a hobby, you can just get in and get out.
That is true, and it's still within the city.
Exactly. So let me ask you one last thing here. If you could sum up everything you've done in your life and the success that you have had, okay, what do you think that you could just say it all is in, like, just a paragraph or so? Like, what somebody have to do to get to where, like, you're at or to get to the point that, hey, you know, I've made it, I'm humble with it, but I'm still about my business. I mean, what is it that you think it is?
I'd have to say blood, sweat, and tears. Blood, sweat, and tears.
So basically the 90% hard work and determination.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And nobody give, and not expecting nobody to give you anything.
Oh, absolutely. I don't expect anybody to give me anything. At this point, if somebody gives me something, I'm terrified.
But you know what? Something that's popped in my head, too. What about those people who say that, well, it's hard for, you know, me as a black man or a black woman to make it? What do you say to those people?
They're not trying hard enough.
Because color isn't a limitation, right?
You know what? It's always going to be an issue. It's always going to be a concern. It's always going to be a factor. However, it's not the supreme factor. You know,
mm-hmm.
being a woman, I am a woman. It's always going to be a factor that I'm soft, that I don't know how to raise my voice and stand my ground, in most cases, as perception. Another perception, I'm a black woman. Oh, yes, I'm highly educated, but I'm a bitch. And I'm aggressive. That is another perception of most black women. That is not the perception of all black women. And in most cases, mm-hmm. that is not the case. However, those cannot be the supreme factor that you're focusing on, because success comes when people give it all they have. They surround themselves by great people that motivate them and keep them engaged and keep them on point, and they just refuse to settle or less. And I've learned in this industry, I'm very fast. If you can't get on the train, guess what? You're not ready for the ride.
And you had to leave a lot of people behind, correct?
Absolutely.
You hurt a lot of feelings?
I don't even look at it like that. It's just a business decision. You know, if you can't handle it, you just can't handle it. I can't nurse on you and nurse your wounds and lick on them. I got to keep pushing.
And that's how successful people think. They ain't got time to be playing games. I got stuff to do. So either come on with me, or you got to do something else.
Absolutely.
And you know, and I'm the same way. I just don't really have that kind of time. I mean, I'm 33 years old. I don't have time for anything like that. You know, I just gotta. But you know, sometimes I get a little obsessive when I'm doing things. You know, so. Yeah, I'm pretty
Absolutely.
Sure you're the same way. You get passionate. You know, people can say obsessive, but extremely passionate about what you're doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're kind of a perfectionist a little bit because of that. And you're thinking, okay, my name's on the line, and
there
I don't want this to look crazy because my name attached to it. So I'm going to,
uh-huh.
you know, double check, triple check, and make sure it's right and everything else in between.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Yeah, so... You know, you're doing good. Like I said, you're doing real good. Like I said, when I saw what you was doing, I was proud of you. I said, shoot, I'm sitting there, Rebecca, I'm a chill on. Shoot, pull out my pom poms and shoot. I'm happy to see anybody.
Me too.
To do something. You know, get out of the hood, get out of them small towns, go nowhere towns, and then you know you go back to the towns and you see some of the same people we grew up with still there. And then life is just about nothing. It's like depressing to see that.
I know. It can just break your heart sometimes. But some people are actually in that time warp, and that's where they want to be, or they feel they can't do more than what they have done. And it's sad.
Mm-hmm.
But like I remember reading a book once I got my master's degree, that most millionaires at the turn of the 20th century didn't have an education past the fourth grade. Whether
wow.
they were black or white, absolutely. And I was like, wow, they had to have some type of success factor to not have the degree from Harvard, Yale, or Howard, or Tuskegee, just to have a fourth grade education. And it was dry. It was dry.
And a lot of common sense as well.
Oh, yes.
Does common sense take you a long way? I tell anybody, give me somebody a PhD in common sense. I'll take them any day over somebody a PhD in books.
I sure will. I've
seen a lot of book smart people, and they so smart, they dumb.
Yes, they can't walk with 2 feet in front of them. You are so right.
Yeah, exactly.
So right.
Yeah. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, But yeah, everything, you know, like I said, I'm proud of you. I'm glad you're doing good, and glad you are, you know, inspiring other, you know, young ladies, black women, as well, to do something more themselves and doing twerk team. You know, I mean, because a lot of these young ladies, that's all they think they can do is just show off their behind and they breast to everybody, and thinking that's the way to make twerk, you know, be on twerking on World Star or whatever.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, that is kind of what, you know, I'm in the social media world, and I get all these videos. People tell me this, tell me that. Look at this, look at that. So, you know, this is what you see. I mean, just a very, very, you know, it's sad. You know, people in our age group is a lot different than the ones that's maybe 10 years younger than we are. Yeah, they just on something totally different. So, you know, we got to try our best to, you know. Try to be a good example. You know, we can't change the world, but just try to be a good example, because a lot of these younger people are looking for somebody to look up to. Believe it or not, you'd be surprised.
I know. I believe you 200%. You are absolutely right. Absolutely right. And they know good decisions and bad decisions as well. So you are right.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, but, you know, I really, you know, definitely thank you for, you know, joining me today. Taking time out of, you know, your hands and just sharing everything that you got. And I really appreciate that.
Anytime. I appreciate the time. I appreciate the invitation. And most of all, I appreciate supporting you. So anytime, just let me know and just keep me posting.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, hey, you know, I'm always going to be posting on YouTube all the time. Just talking. You know, I do it.
But that's good. You have a voice, and guess what? You're using it, so it's important.
Yeah, I thank you for, you know, supporting your brother, too, because, like, I support you.
Uh-huh. So just keep me posted of any other things going on, and, of course, you know I support you on social media with anything you do as well. And for your listeners, if you do want to follow me on Twitter, once again, my hashtag is BCKYBR.
Okay, well, thank you, Rebecca, and, you know, I'll let you probably turn in for the evening, so it's not too late.
Yeah, maybe I can catch a little bit about this game, this basketball game as well.
Okay.
Thank you, Philip, and thank you, everybody online.
You. All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, everyone, that was Rebecca Briscoe from Houston Style Magazine Entertainment Reporter. So what I'm going to do, I'm gonna take a little break, put on an old school song. I don't know if y'all remember Jodeci. You remember Jodeci from back in the day? Well, I was hearing this song the other day, and I was like, oh, I ain't heard this song. So I said, I'm going to put it on for the listeners, just, you know, just a maybe excerpt of it, where I can just take a little break and come back, and we'll talk about a few things that's going on in the world. And maybe we can get some phone calls in. Phone calls will definitely be open up for sure after this song. I'm going to take a quick break, and I'll be right back with y'all.
Because you are so dear to me.
Whatever you want.
Now, I know y'all ain't heard that in a while. But like I said, I downloaded all those albums from Josie to the iPod, and I said, oh, man, because some of that music we got today, it's a bunch of garbage. It really is. Like, I think the only R&B artist I listen to today would be, Trey Songz. That's about the only one that I follow. But the rest of them, they don't really, like, say nothing no more. It's like, even with the rappers. I mean, you want to talk about rap, all that's mostly garbage. I mean, I don't, you know, they're not even saying anything. Like, I catch myself just listening to all the old school people, you know, like Tupac, of course. You know, I listen to a lot of West Coast. I listen, like, you know, E-40, Too Short. They still rapping. You know, cats like that, Snoop Dogg, whatever. You know, maybe some Ice Cube. There's a bunch of just older stuff because these cats, like, it's like they're passing out record deals these days. Like, they're passing out a bag of M&Ms. Like, anybody can get, you know, a record deal. You know what I'm saying? If they can just halfway rap a little bit, then they keep saying the same thing. Females, they rap about money, rap about cars. It's just very stupid. So, you know, like I said, I don't know. Maybe about y'all, but I follow a lot of the old school stuff. But anyway, this is the part of the show that's just very random. Like I said, you can call in, talk about whatever you want. This is the random part of the show. I'm glad my guest came on. Like I said, we are classmates and everything. And she done real good for herself. But I had a problem recently on my Facebook page. And it's the first time I ever had this problem on my fan page. You know, I normally share my videos and everything on my fan page, no problem. Well, then I get a guy, you know, some sort of troll or whatever, tells me, and I thought it was very funny, it said, you know what, you're ugly. And they posted a picture of a penis, and they said that, you know, I want to, you know, stick my, you know, penis in your behind or whatever. I said, what the hell is that? You know what I'm saying? So, of course, I blocked them. And then maybe like 2 days later, supposedly, I guess, a female, posting all kind of pictures on my wall, on my fan page of you know, nakedness and stuff like that. And I had to block them as well. And I'm like, well, you know, hold on. Because, you know, I'm a married man. I got children and stuff like that. And, you know, people doing idiotic things like that can cause me some problems. And I ain't trying to go that route. But, you know, when it comes to a lot of these females, I told the females, hey, let me post some pictures on like that on my wall. I don't really appreciate that. And, you know, the chick was like, well, I thought you liked something like that. It's like, not all men are thirsty. And that's what a lot of these females think these days, that we thirsty, that we're going to jump every time one of them say jump or show us some sort of picture or whatever. I'm like, what am I going to do with that? You know, you just showing me some random pictures online that shows me you're classless. You have no sense of respect for yourself. What I want with that? And usually, if you're doing this to me, you're doing it to somebody else, and you probably got some sort of disease, why in the world would anybody want to fool with you whatsoever? And then these chicks, you know, they want you to respect them, and they're doing twerk team, you know, all on the internet, but they want you to respect them. They got booty pics as a main profile picture, but they want you to respect them. And then they get mad if a dude, you know, asks them, can I, you know, hit or whatever. They're like, I'm a lady, respect me. Like, you ain't no lady if half of your pictures you turned around. Like, always advertising yourself. Kind of like how a dog does in heat to another dog. Always just putting their behind in the other dog's face because they in heat. Well, that's how a lot of these females are today. Because I get so sick and tired of, you know, you trying to be on your pictures and all these females just turned around. I mean, and then what's the other thing I can't stand is that all these females got this mean mug look now. Have you paid attention to that? Try to count how many people in your friends list that's women that actually smile. Everybody's got this mean mug look. What is that about? I mean, at one point in time that women would smile on every single picture that they had. Now they looking like they just like some straight mug shots. You get what I'm saying? All these little side looks or whatever that these females do. I don't get all that. But I don't know, man. I'm out the game. I'm tired of it. Boy, I don't envy none of y'all dudes, man. I don't. I mean, some of the stories, you know, I've had dudes tell me and how these females get down, how these females treat them, you know, how they say they with them and then they find out they're fooling with this dude and that dude. Like, you can't distrust, you know, a lot of these females. That's why I tell a lot of men, get your money together, man. Get your stuff right. That's what you need to do. You need to be successful as well. And as a man, the things you need to focus on, especially when you're young, is find a career or open you up a business that's going to make you very successful. Well, I got a call on the line. I'm going to answer this call. Call you online.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay.
Okay, so I apologize. I can't actually get your station, so I don't know what you're talking about, but you did encourage people to call in if they had a question, yes?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so if it's outside of whatever you're talking about currently, I apologize, okay?
Oh, it's no problem. Go ahead.
I was watching a recent post that you did where you pretty much rip everybody a new one over being judgmental and how, you know, we all do wrong, so why would we, you know, I think it stemmed from the Little Reese issue and then carried on from there because it does happen in lots of things, right? And you went on telling us how, you know, maybe people change their ways and who are we to keep judging them for what they did in the past and woo-dee-woo-dee-woo. But most of your videos are judging somebody for something.
Well, most of my videos, okay, go ahead, I'll let you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, like for instance, women and how they behave and what they do and why they're pushing men away and how come nobody respects them anymore and all this stuff. It's a lot of what you say is judgmental as well. So my question is it wrong for us to feel a certain way about somebody's character once they show us who they are?
There's nothing wrong with you having your own personal opinion about someone. And as I stated in the video, there's nothing wrong with pointing out behavior that is wrong. I know I said that in the video, and I said it more than once. It's okay to point out wrongdoing.
Mm-hmm.
But as, for instance, let's say, I'm going to use somebody for instance. Let's say Shadia Lane. Everybody know who she is. Okay, she did what she did. It happened with the bus driver, correct?
Oh, is that the young lady that was on the bus?
Yes. Okay, let's talk about her. Everybody knows about her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if Shadia Lane changes her life, okay, and she, you know, because she turns to be a good, upstanding mother, she be a good, upstanding woman, she respect everybody ever since this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then if I see Shadia Lane 7 years later, she got her stuff together, she's not the same person, she don't even speak the same way anymore, would it, if I go up to her and I just start talking about what she did on the bus, 7 years later, after she didn't change her life, okay, well, that would be right or wrong.
That would be wrong.
And that's what I'm getting at. I'm not talking about behaviors. Like, for instance, when I talk about these females or guys that having these wrong behaviors, I'm talking about the behavior. I don't know any of them personally. I really don't.
Of course.
Nobody
not.
I know
None
personally.
None of us do, actually.
You know, it's like I don't go to their pages. I don't email them. I don't tell them anything anymore than what was said on the video in a general sense.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's name I would involve in a whole lot unless I'm saying something about a particular person. Why I use Michael Vick's name is because all the time somebody's bringing up his name about a dog.
Okay,
all
so
the time.
I guess that the reason for the question was a guidance type thing because let me throw it down for you in a nutshell what's confusing me.
Okay.
Let's use the Little Reese video. I'll show you why. Pretend you and I are friends and I saw that video, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then 5 years later, I tell you I'm going out with him and I have two children. What are you going to say to me?
If I knew him and I haven't seen him since then, all I saw was that. That's
yes.
it. And I haven't seen him since then. I don't know anything about him.
Well, regardless,
like,
even if he's worked in a soup line and fed the homeless for 5 years, if you knew that he was capable of that kind of violence against a woman, and five
mm-hmm.
years later I told you as my good friend, oh, I'm madly in love with this guy, he's changed, what would you say to me if I had myself and two little children living with him? Would you not tell me that I was foolish and not seeing signs and sugarcoating things and making exceptions and excuses and I'm going to get my children into trouble for hooking up with a guy like that?
You ready for me to respond to what I would tell you?
Oh, of course.
Okay. If you told me that you was dating a person like that, the first thing I would say, and I don't know nothing about him since just that. That's all I know. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's changed or not. Of course, I'm going to respond like, well, you sure you want to fool with that dude? Because the only thing I know about the guy, he be hitting on women. Now, if you tell me, well, he ain't hit me. I've been involved with him for a year and a half. he never did anything wrong to my children. He never did this or that. The only thing I'll say, well, okay, that's you. But I'm saying it just off of what I know. You know him, I don't. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not one to just go ham on other people about what they did in the past. I mean, there's a lot of people that's done things in the past and changed their life around, including me. I mean, I can't just do that and talk about people like that and never give them a chance to change. That's why people kill themselves sometimes, too, is because they never live down the thing that they once did. Because let me tell you something. At one point in time in my life, you know, I was at the brink of wanting to commit suicide when I was 15 years old. And it was behind all kind of things with that, ridicule and shame and stuff like that. So somebody that was almost at the brink of committing suicide, and I knew what got me to that point, the condemnation, ridicule, and shame of some things I have done and things that happened to me in my life, how can I sit there and want to ridicule somebody else who's changed their life? I'm not using Lil Reese for it, okay? I'm just saying anybody.
Well, I have another example. That was the only one I could think of. But, okay, yeah, there are many examples.
Give an example. If there's a woman and she was, let's say, a stripper, she quit doing that sort of thing. She changed her life around. She don't do none of that anymore. She's a respectable lady, okay? Mm-hmm, she worked her career. She may be married now, have children. Who am I to go say, oh, you was a stripper, and you this, and you that. If her husband is fine with her, and he, whatever knows her past, what is it my business to go condemn her for if she changed her life?
Well, you're absolutely, I agree with all of that. I just wonder when it becomes, it's okay to give people, you're supposed to be gracious with people, especially if they've exerted every possibility to show you that they're no longer that misguided person and doing whatever it was that they had done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But if you fast forward 10 years from that, and that person falls back into that same way for whatever trigger or whatever reason, the first person everybody looks at is who? Not that person. They're going to look at you as a dumbass who gave them a second chance.
That could be true, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got everybody's situation is different. Some people don't get out of those patterns. Some people keep being repetitive, like, for instance, some guys, they will hit, you know, if they are a woman beater, they're going to beat women time and time and time and time again. They're not going to stop. I don't know how society treat that person and they lock them up in jail, whatever. I don't have no sympathy for them on that because that's wrong. That is totally wrong, and they shouldn't do that. But I've known guys, for instance, that's been gangbangers and changed their life around. A woman has actually helped them to change their life, they gotten married and had children and work hard and don't cause any problems to nobody, and they was once a gangbanger. Well, should I go up to that guy and be like, oh, well, yeah, you work and you got a family, but I remember when you used to sell dope. I remember when you used to do this. And like, he don't do it anymore. You know what I'm saying? So that was just my point with the whole thing. I went through a time when I made the first video 2 years ago about this. I was going through a very, very hard divorce. And I was seeing how people was very judgmental and how people wasn't my friends and stuff like that and acting like they're better. And that's what spurred me to do the very first video. Back on my old channel 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And what stirred this up was with me doing that video, actually, is that everybody kept talking about Lil Reese. And I'm the type of person, I said, well, this is what I did. I said, you know what, I'm going to find him. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to find him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got his information, and I emailed him. And I said, you know what, this video that's out, you know, it doesn't look too good at all for you. It really don't. I mean, and no, I say everybody's upset. I said, and I would like to give you a chance to tell your side of the story, and I would like to ask you play by play what happened and what's going on. Yes, it's horrible. I didn't post a video to my channel because I felt that that's bad, what he did.
Yeah,
that's why I didn't even post a video.
I noticed that you didn't post it.
Yeah, because I'd say, oh, Lord, no, I'm not going to post this. But at the same time, I want to find out from him himself, okay, what happened? How did you get in the house? How do you know the people? What led up to this? All this other stuff. Because I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh, okay, that's fine. I mean, come on. I'm not going to talk that way. I'm going to talk straight about it. Because anybody who knows me personally know I don't cut corners with nobody. I'm gonna respect you, but I'm not going to cut corners either. I'm going to tell you the truth.
Okay, so that was pretty much all I wanted to ask about was, you know, how does somebody really, you know, forgiveness is one thing, but following and jumping in is a whole nother thing, you know.
But also, too, you got to trust your intuition about people as well. I mean, because, you know, I've always, you know, like when I meet people, I talk to them, I watch how they do things, you know, whatever. You got to just trust if something's not right about them as well.
But then, you know, would that not be, you know, condemnation of sorts, or would that be preservation of yourself?
Trusting your intuition about a person and you don't feel something right about them, that's not condemning no one. You just like, ooh, something about this person is not right. I mean, it's kind of like going by a bad dog. If you know the dog's bad, why are you going to go by it? I mean, but you're going to see if this dog is bad. But, like, some people that come up to you, they can have the biggest smile on their face, and they can seem so nice, but they can be a serial killer. You don't know.
Well, isn't that the truth? That's how come they manage to get people to kill, because they're usually quite, you know, pleasing to the eye, friendly, approachable. So that is true about serial killers. I just see a lot of stuff around, you know, people say, oh, well, you're not, for instance, if somebody does me wrong, I don't talk to them ever again. That's my choice, right? I don't wish them any harm. I don't try to do any dirt to them. I just don't talk to them anymore. And then people say to me 2 years later, well, why are you holding a grudge? I said, it's not a grudge. It's common sense. If somebody does something wrong to me, why do I have to go out of my way to be friendly to them? Why be fake? I don't like you, so don't talk to me.
Exactly.
But people call that judgment. They say that you're not supposed to judge people for whatever they did and And sometimes all that gets mixed in together. And as far as I'm concerned, okay, maybe you're trying to fix whatever you did, and I wish you well with that, but you don't have to be around me.
You know what? Let me tell you something. You saying, I just don't want to talk to you and not want to deal with you, that's mm-hmm. your choice and that's your right. That's not you judging a person. You just saying, hey, I just don't see the eye to eye with them. I'm going to let them stay over there. But you're not going over there to their face and telling them, you this, and talking down to them.
No, I wouldn't do that.
It's like, it's people in my life that I know that I sometimes the way I respond to people is, you may not even done nothing to me, but if I see you do something so sneaky and underhanded to somebody else, I keep my distance from you because that's a character issue with you. So I'm going to keep my distance from you because I've seen what you've done to somebody else. I do that a lot just to protect myself because I've seen how people do things. I've gotten done wrong, too.
I tell my daughter that exact same thing all the time.
I remember a long time ago, and I've experienced this the hard way, okay? Guys, for instance, was talking about a boss one time and on the job, and you know, and I just made one statement that they all were saying, but yeah, they went back to this boss and said that I said it, okay? Mm-hmm. And this guy had it out for me, and I eventually got fired because of it. Now, what I learned from that lesson: if I see anybody talking about the boss, I don't even talk to them at all, because if I make one comment, say yeah, you know, whatever, they're gonna say I said it. Or if I see another employee, for instance, like turning somebody in for some more underhanded stuff and they shouldn't even been doing that sort of thing, I don't speak with them. I got people at my job right now. I walk right past and don't cross two words with them. Not because they did me anything, but because of what I've seen them do somebody else. That's me protecting me.
Right. Because you know. What they're capable of.
Yeah, because I've seen what they do. And I really don't have to deal with them like that. I mean, they could be what they want to be. They could be underhanded, snake in the grass, whatever. I'm not telling them nothing about themselves. That is them. So it's my mm-hmm. choice if I want to deal with them or not. Well, what I was talking about is people that just going at a person all the time about, you know, if somebody was a drug addict and they know it, they just beating them down, beating them down. You was a dope head. What do you think? You know, you ain't nobody. You this, you that. That's the kind of stuff I was talking about. Now you saying, you know what, I just want to stay away from this kind of person. That's just my opinion, but you're not condemning them either.
No, I don't wish harm on them. I just think that their lifestyle is different than what I want around me.
Exactly.
And, that's the thing. And then often my family does accuse me of being judgmental. And I say, what makes me judgmental? Because I have choices about who I want in my midst and in my circle. I'm choosy and selective. I have children. I can't just bring any old person in through my door. And if I know somebody's capable of something, I'm going to believe them.
Well, you know, like I said, that's your choice. But also, you know, and I tell any mothers, especially, you know, mothers with children, you got to be, like, highly protective on who comes around your kids because you don't know who's who. I have no problem with women, like, getting involved with a man and running his criminal background. I have no problem with that either. I really don't, because you don't know who's who. You really don't.
That's right. Okay, you know, well, thank you so much for your time. You helped me sort that out.
Oh, that's no problem.
Okay, and I love the stuff you post. I wish I could hear your show all the time, but I can't. So
okay.
Keep posting.
All right, well, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, what that phone call was about was I posted a video today called I Hate Self-Righteous People, and it was a part two to that. I did a part one 2 years ago. And I was going through a real bad, you know, divorce. And like I said, people was turning on me, doing all this stuff behind me, stuff I didn't even do, siding with my ex-wife. And, you know, the purpose of that video back then was, wait a minute, you know better than me. You done stuff too. Well, like I said, when, you know, I heard all this stuff about Lil Reese or whatever, and like I said, I did not at all agree, you know, what he did, and I didn't even post the video to my channel because that was just a little too much. But I told the caller that I did reach out and ask him, you know, if you want to come on the show and explain your portion. Some people don't like it. They're like, I don't want to hear nothing he got to say. But, hey, I think he needs to say his piece because, you know, I want to know because I know how sometimes, even though the video looked bad, what happened, what led up to this, whatever. And only he can really say if the lady's not saying it. I don't know who the lady is or anything, but I know, you know, enough who he is. So, like I said, I talked to him on email, and he said he wouldn't mind coming on the show. So, like I said, hopefully, like I said, we can just get that all going next week or two. I'm going to email him back on the date of the show. But people don't have a right to put you down for things you've done in your past. I just don't believe in that. You could choose if you want to hang around somebody or not. That's your life and that's your business. But I don't think it's right to bring up people's past every chance you get as a way to putting them down, as a way to make yourself feel superior over anybody else. I just don't agree with that at all because I think everybody has a right to change. Everybody does because, you know, I've changed my life in many ways, for the better, not for the worse. And what if nobody gave me the room to change? What if nobody gave me a chance to redeem myself of the things that I have done? And so that's why I did that video. And some, you know, like I said, some people may take it that I'm going ham about some things. But, hey, I'm just trying to speak the real because there's a lot of people out here today who are depressed, who are really down, and it's behind people condemning them of the past things they have done. And when other people who's condemning them have done things too, they just wasn't caught, how are they standing in over them doing that sort of thing and beating them up and won't let them live that down? I just don't, you know, agree with that, brothers and sisters, not, you know, whatsoever. And if anybody's doing that to you and treating you bad and making you feel like, oh, you know, you are no good, you are nobody, you don't deserve any good in your life because of what you did in the past, then they got a problem. Because the whole time you worrying about me and my life, what are you doing with your life? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Because I'm not nobody for you to be worrying about like that. You know, and that's why I don't really pay attention to people like that. And if you got all this commentary about me, then I'm like, okay, I'm doing me. I'm trying to fix me, but what are you doing at the same time? Not much of nothing because you're worried about me. So, you know, on my videos, and those of you who listen to my videos, you know, I'm very strong in my opinions. And I, like I said, not all the time. I'm right on every single opinion. There's been people that message me and say, hey, man, you know, that part of that opinion you had, you know, it isn't really right. And I'm going to tell you why. And they tell me in a respectful manner. I hear what they're saying. There's no problem. And I may come back and I may even delete the video because I'm like, you know what? I didn't like the way that sounded and that person was right. I've done that many times because I'm not right about everything. I'm really not. But, you know, I'm constantly learning and I'm constantly growing in every area of my life. And I feel that, you know, along the way, we will make some mistakes. And now some things we do is just blatantly wrong. It's blatantly wrong. But, you know, if we can bounce back from that and make our life better, then that's what, you know, we should do. You know, make ourselves, you know, better fathers to our children. Sometimes we make mistakes on that. Make ourselves better boyfriends or better husbands because we don't have all the answers to all that sort of thing. Who gives you a playbook in life to do what's right and what's wrong? I mean, you got kind of just living life and you figuring this junk out along the way. And yeah, you're going to have some bumps in the road. You may really make some mistakes. Don't get me wrong. But you'll be all right. You know what I'm saying? As long as you're trying to just have some sort of morality about yourself, do what's right. And we, you know, you all know what's right and what's wrong. You get me? So that's kind of what we got to focus on as, you know, people and human beings. Now, a little earlier before the call had came through, I was talking about men and what men need to focus on when it comes to women and things like that. Because I do get a lot of messages about, you know, relationships with women. Well, how do you talk to a woman? How you this? And how do I conduct myself and stuff like that? You know, one of the biggest things I find out about women is women like a man who is confident, and they like a man who is very assertive. And they like a man who is, you know, also has some sort of successfulness to him. And I like men to be in a position where they're successful. I mean, they don't need nothing from nobody. They don't need nothing from no woman. They don't need anything. They got their own place, their own car. They got their own money in their bank. They got their little savings, whatever. Because a lot of these men, because they're not at the point where they need to be in the area of their finances, they kind of have to take any old woman sometimes. And that's a problem with a lot of men, is that you take any old woman, and that's why they treat you like that. Because then they feel like they're doing you a favor being with you. But when you become successful and, you know, you got your, you know, degree, you know, of course, you know, success just don't mean a degree. Or you may have a trade, you open up a business. I mean, because a lot of blue-collar workers who don't have a degree is making some good money as well. So it's not only that. But you're doing it. That commands a higher-caliber woman, and you have a right to go reach out to get a higher-caliber woman in attitude, in look, in stature, character, everything. And once you get like that, I notice a lot of these women, they actually get offended that you want a woman that is a little bit more than the status quo. I had a brother talk to me, and he said that, you know, I told a woman, look, I work hard for myself. I got my own business. You know, I dress good. I do everything good. I'm sorry. I just can't really fool with you because you don't work. The woman got mad at this brother, and she says, well, you know, why are you making it all about the money? And he told her back, when you ask me what I do for a living, weren't you making it all about the money? He said she got real mad, telling him he ain't all that, even though he got an Escalade, he doing this, doing that. But the brother got his own business. He said he started from scratch. He started from nothing. Or, you know, brothers like going to the gym, brothers trying to take care of themselves or whatever. And if they want a woman that does the same thing, it's a problem. And, you know, because women are so used to men just not having any standards whatsoever. And as men, we need to start having some standards and start raising the bar on these women as well, because we raise the bar on ourselves. Because, see, you can't raise the bar on a woman when you aren't doing your stuff and aren't doing your part as well. Because when you tell this woman, I ain't trying to fool no chicks that don't work, She better not turn around and say, oh, well, you don't work either. You get what I'm saying? Or you say you want a woman to be this, you want a woman to be that. You have to be the exact same thing or more if you're going to require that out of these women. For instance, a woman like Rebecca that was on the show, you got to bring your A game up to talk to a woman like that. That kind of woman is one that's doing it for herself and doing it pretty big. So you got some big shoes to fill. Even though on the show she said she is the type of woman that's willing to, you know, help a man along the way, even though why he's trying to make it. That's good she's like that. But still, you still want to bring your A game up when you're dealing with women like that, because you don't want to be in a position, and a lot of men feel this way, you got a woman and she's doing all this stuff and you're not, you're going to start feeling like you less, because it's just that male ego you have that you want to either be doing more or at least the same as what your woman. You don't want to feel like your woman is over you and you're subservient to her financially and not as a person. So you got to take care of your business, brothers. That's what you got to do. You got to focus. You know, some of y'all focus way too much on skirts, way too much on, you know, just being pussy hounds. I've got to be honest with you. A lot of y'all are pussy hounds. And you're fooling with these broke females that ain't got nothing whatsoever, and you're not focusing on your career, you're not focusing on being successful, and, you know, it's sad when you look up and you're 35 years old or 40 years old, and you're still in the mode, I'm trying to make it. Oh, woman, give me a chance. I mean, like, I'm sorry, you kind of being a loser at that point, because you should have figured out, you know, somewhere in your 20s that, hey, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm going to work toward. Now, if a woman like Rebecca that was on the show can do all that stuff in spite of coming from a small town, because we come from the same town, in spite of, you know, dealing with all the obstacles as being an African-American woman, surely as, you know, men, we can do the same or a lot more. Okay? So, us as men, you know, we need to definitely raise the bar, like I said, on ourselves and make sure that we focus more on, like I said, education, building ourselves up as men, being careful not to get trapped in no child support with no woman, because a child that you with a woman you're not married to and you're on child support, that is financial jail. You're sentenced to 18 years of child support. And if you don't pay it, you will be in physical jail. So a lot of men, you don't want to mess your life up with that. They got all kind of condoms out there you can use, try them out. Trojan has so many different brands. I mean, my personal favorite is the Trojan lambskin. They say considered luxury condoms. But you can't really use those condoms if you're just trying to sleep with random chicks. Is that what you want to do? That's more so for relationships, because that protects against pregnancy, not STDs. But you can also use, you know, bare skin, you know, use magnums. You can use all kind of, I mean, you can fit a magnum at least. There's all kind of condoms out there you can use, but it's like this. Use the condom. Use them. I'm telling you, because I know you don't want to use that stuff, but bring at least 3 condoms with you when you go sleep with these females. One thing I found out to help, you know, with the sensation, too, when you're fooling these females, is shoot, get you a little small thing, an Astroglad, a KY jelly or something. You know, get that. And you put the condom on, put some of that on you know, your thing with the condom on. It'll make the sensation be a little bit better. Depends on the condom, though. But I don't want y'all dudes getting caught up in no child support, because them people ain't playing by the child support. They will take your money. They will take you to the cleaners. They really will. And you imagine this woman collecting all this child support, and she going to the club on your money, fixing her hair on your money, getting her nails done on your money. And then you see your kid, and your kid is not even fixed right. What kind of junk is that? You get what I'm saying? And I'm not saying all women do that. They don't. There's a lot of women out here who are good moms, and they, you know, really do need the help. And that's the truth. I mean, some of these guys are deadbeat. Some of these guys don't treat their kids right. Some of these guys don't pick their kids up. You know, I've known women that say, I just wish he'd just pick them up. You know, I don't even care about child support. Just pick them up so they just won't be hurting so bad. And, you know, I say, well, I never got a situation like that. It's like, shoot, I pick up my child every chance I get. And, but shoot, she wants every single dime she can get out of me. You feel what I'm saying? And so, you know, like I said, we don't want to, as men, get caught up in that, you know, financial suicide. And I look at child support as a financial suicide. It doesn't benefit you whatsoever. It benefits them. And it just kind of just make you upset, men, to get involved with that. But on top of that, in all this, you know, trying to scale up, or whatever, you know, keep women out your life who are, you know, very aggressive and ones who are hyper-masculine as well. You want to deal with you a classy woman, a woman that, you know, somebody you could bring home to meet your mother. And that's what get a lot of men in trouble as well. Why are you dealing with women who are low class? You need to deal with women who are good women. Don't pass up the girl that's in the library, you know. Or passing up the girl who is even maybe your friend playing Xbox or something. I don't know. Give these women a chance as well, because you can meet some of the best women in places that you don't think. I know you like some of the chicks that look fine, and I know that chick that twerk, you know, she looks real good, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, a chick that put herself out there like that, it's not really somebody that you want to settle down with. Because a lot of guys send me messages about, you know, what kind of chick I need to settle down with. And one of the biggest things I tell them is just, you know, one that meets all your expectations that you need in a woman. I mean, I can't, it's no really magic design for a woman. I can just say, look, get a woman that does this. Because, hey, you may be the type of dude, you got to have a chick that's extremely rough around the edges. You may like that sort of thing. I've known guys like that. Chicks that's, you know, quiet or extremely classy and all that, they just get real bored with them. So, that, I mean, if you like a chick that's rough around the edges, that's fine. That's okay. As long as she, you know, as long as she's a decent chick. You get what I'm saying? I mean, but what comes with, you know, a rough around the edges chick, you got to deal with that. But if you're cool with that, deal with that. But, you know, in the midst of, you know, you trying to find the good chick, the best chick for you at least, I'm going to say, you're going to have to do a lot of dating in the process. Now, when you're doing a lot of dating, let me tricking off your money. You know what I'm saying? I'm a woman that wants your money, constantly asking you for your money. Then she, where's hers? You get what I'm saying? Because one of the biggest things that I pay attention to, if I'm dating somebody or going out on a date, I want to see if you're going to pay for a date sometime too. I'm not going to say nothing, but I just want to see. And I noticed I'm paying for dates too much. And you can reach out of pocket that one time and say, I pay this dinner, or I pay the movie, or I pay, you know, I pay our little outing, or shoot, I pay gas, or whatever it may be. And then I'm going to say, man, this chick a little too selfish. But you can't be having those selfish women. That's just not going to work. Because I had a woman like that. My ex-wife was like that, actually. And she was more so, you know, and I was so young when I got with her, not where I'm at today. And, you know, she had that, was yours is mine, was mine is mine, with money at least. And I said, I never again would get with a woman like that. You get what I'm saying? Because that don't work. You know, we're going to be a team. We're going to do things together. And, you know, we gotta rock this thing out. So you don't want a woman who's selfish like that financially. You don't want a woman that's giving, because you may be in a position, something may happen to you. You may get hurt. You may get sick. And if you can't work for a certain amount of time, then that type of woman will just walk off and leave you for some other cat that got money at that time. So you don't want that sort of thing for you when it comes to women, men. You don't. You need to have that girl that you know is going to have your back, not only financially, but they're going to have your back in general. Because it's hard out here to, you know, find these decent women. It really is. Because you got a lot of dudes that's messing it up and actually ruining decent women. They find, I don't know how this happens. They always find the decent chicks. You run through them. You get them pregnant. They, you know, dog them out. And by the time, you know, you meet them, now you got to deal with all kind of abandonment issues, you know, trust issues you have. And it had nothing to do with you. But you see that overall, she's a decent chick, but you got to work through all this stuff. And that's what get on a lot of men's nerves. But, you know, sometimes you're not going to always find, there's no such thing as the perfect woman, though. I mean, every woman got a problem. If you walking around here thinking that women don't have no kind of problems, you're sadly mistaken. There's like no such thing as a perfect man. I mean, he's going to have some sort of issue or problem. This depends on what his problem is, that if you can deal with it or not. That's just the only thing. So, you know, sometimes you got to be patient, dudes. Be patient. Be patient and you know, try to, you know, listen to a woman a little bit more when they talk. And you can find out a lot about them. Because I've heard some chicks talk to me, you know, when I was dating and looking for a woman. And they just turned me off just how they say things or how they thought on life. But you have to listen for that. You got to kind of take your eyes off of how they look and pay attention to, you know, what's in their head. Because a lot of men, you know, don't do that sort of thing sometimes. But, you know, y'all, you know, I know that dating scene is not easy these days. I really know. Because a lot of these chicks just own something, man. But, you know, y'all have to hang in there with that. It'll be all good. But when it comes to, you know, doing a lot of these videos on YouTube and a lot of things that I post, and some people ask me about that, you know, a lot of times, you know, if y'all have any, you know, suggestions or y'all have any stories, tell me, look at, you know, you can submit it to my fan page, or you could DM me on Twitter, but follow me on Twitter and DM me about it, or you can just, you know, tell me on YouTube, because I want to, you know, do the videos you guys, you know, would like me to do, you know, if I feel I can, because, you know, not every video I can do, but I try my best. I try my best to post daily, but I do have a career as well. And I have to take care of that until I can break off from that career and do something more into what I'm doing, like right now, something on radio or something in, you know, TV or something, you know, something else outside of my job. But, you know, what I do for a living, you know, I can retire from. I don't, you know, I don't have to try to do anything else. And it took me a while to get to that point. When I was young, I put in the work. I put in the work for that. And I've been, you know, doing... I've been in my industry for about going on 12 years now, and you know it's fine. You know it pays off, and it does pay to get, you know, pay the bills pretty well. And to say where I come from, you know, I do pretty good, but you definitely got to put in the work, like Rebecca was saying. You know, most of the stuff you do is hard work, and a lot of people don't want to put in the work for anything. They want it the easy way, and everybody who's successful. And, you know, even if you read up on their biographies and their life, their work ethic was awesome. Because in order for you to be successful, you got to have a hard work ethic. You know, nothing easy, nothing comes easy. You got to be able to put in the work. Even if you see somebody doing something and it looks easy, better believe they put in the time to get to that point where it looks easy. They had a lot of trial and error where it looks easy to you, but it's not easy at all. And if you see somebody doing something, a lot of times out of 10, they're not going to reach out and they're not going to tell you what they're doing either, because that's considered like trade secret. Some people will help you if you're genuine about it with them, but like, you can't really expect people to give up their trade secrets, for instance. It'd be like me asking Rebecca, oh, what's your contacts for these people you know? That's her stuff. That's what she does. You know, if I want to get myself out there, I have to put in the work to do the same thing like she did. You get what I'm saying? Because there's, you know, some people that just try to take somebody else's shine and they don't want to put in the work to do what you got to do. So I believe in putting in the work. I don't care if I got to put in the work for years, you know, and nobody know who I am, but eventually... You know, people find out who you are, whether in your career or whether, you know, anything you do on social media. It just takes time, and you got to be patient. Anything worth having, you got to take some patience with. So, and on next week's show, I'm going to have Brother Harvey Superboy on the show next week, and... The title of that show is going to be talking about basically race relations in a modern day America. And because they had a poll recently came out about American sentiment about the African-American community that ever since the inception of President Barack Obama. So I'm going to discuss that with that brother and, you know, get his take on everything. And then also, like I said, we definitely open up the lines for everybody to call. I definitely appreciate everybody for joining me tonight and listening to the show. And if you haven't heard the show before, I have many shows in the archives from different guests, different shows, and you can listen to it. You know, you're bored, whatever, so you can hear it on iTunes as well. But I'm gonna thank everyone for joining me tonight, and next week I have another show. So. Y'all, you know, take it easy and be careful this weekend. And I know all you trick-or-treating with your kids, be careful. Make sure you're with them. Don't let them, you know, be out there by themselves. And I know we got daylight savings time, you know, going back on Sunday. Yeah, Sunday go back an hour. So make dark a little later, earlier and everything. So I appreciate y'all joining me. And you can follow me on Twitter at The Advise Show. I got a Facebook fan page. It's facebook.com/TheAdviseShow. And You can subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheAdvisedShowTV. Make sure you subscribe to me there. Once you subscribe to me there, you can find out about my Spreadshirt store. That's TheAdvisedShow.Spreadshirt.com, where I'm selling shirts, you know, things for your laptop. I got a little baby clothes in there for right now. So I want to, like I said, just wrap everything up. I don't have no more callers and everything, and just end this show. And I appreciate everybody joining me tonight and listening to, you know, Rebecca and myself, you know, talk about what does it take to be successful, because it takes a lot, but definitely a lot of hard work. Anyway, I'll see you guys next week, and I appreciate you for joining me.